Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about, one of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting/kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Time and time again, DNA helps to solve, or at least connect, even the coldest of crimes. It isn't, however, the magical solution to finding an elusive killer. On March 18, 1975, a young woman was brutally killed in a crime that, even all these years later, remains unsolved. A case that, if the DNA is right, might just have been one of a series for an uncaught serial killer. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Eve Stratford was born on December 28, 1953, in Dortmund, West Germany, to a German mother and an English father serving with the Royal Army Medical Corps. A beautiful young woman who won three beauty pageants in Germany, her family was known to move around quite a bit during her childhood, until in 1972, Eve decided to move in with her boyfriend and settle in Leighton, East London. Sharing the apartment at the time were Eve, Tony Priest, her partner and the lead singer of a band called Onyx, and later Vineyard, as well as two other members of the band. Living a life that most described as glamorous, Eve, around the time that our story takes place, was working at the Playboy Club in Park Lane as a bunny, socialized with the elite as well as some famous figures, and modeled under the name Eva von Bock. In fact, in March of 1975, she even appeared on the front cover of Mayfair magazine, an adult magazine geared towards men, as their girl of the month. Though the move was a breach in her contract with the club, earning her a suspension, the gorgeous young woman believed that the publicity would be a stepping stone for furthering her career. Instead, in the opinions of the police, the magazine photos served as an enticement for a very dangerous man. On March 18, 1975, Tony Priest walked into the shared apartment and found his girlfriend lying there with her throat sliced ear to ear between 8 to 12 times. A crime scene that was described by detectives as the most horrific one they had seen in their careers, Eve's face was extensively mutilated. She was found partially stripped of her clothing and had a nylon stocking tied around one of her ankles and hands bound by a scarf. With strong suggestions that she had been sexually assaulted during the attack, when searched, Semen was found on the vaginal swabs taken, which indicated that she likely engaged in sexual intercourse just before her murder. Strangely, there were no signs of forced entry on the property, nor any signs of a struggle. Retracing the last moments of her life, police found that Eve, on the day of her murder, had visited Camden to see her agent, and then went to a promotions consultancy in Bayswater before making her way back home. As far as they knew, she made that journey on her own, and no one was seen walking with Eve at any point along the way. Last seen by a neighbor walking towards her flat wearing a floppy hat and holding some dry flowers, at 4:30 p.m., the woman living underneath the apartment heard a male and female voice talking calmly, followed by a loud thud and the sounds of footsteps. Tony walked into the apartment at 5:20 p.m., and found Eve's body. Seeing photos of the woman and hearing about her glamorous job, the news about the murder spread like wildfire in the press, and police, as stated before, worried that the photos in the magazine might have motivated their unknown killer. Believing he likely traced her address somehow and waited for her to come home that day, they suggested that her interview, in which she stated she wanted a dominant man who would play little games and keep sex interesting, might have given him the idea and made him feel as though he had some sort of ownership over the model. They also suggested that, when Eve stated in the article that she lived alone with her cat, the killer, emboldened by the statement, decided that he could follow her home and that no one would interrupt whatever heinous plans he had made. Though the lack of defensive wounds and the fact that none of the neighbors heard any screams did lead to the theory that either she complied with the killer in order to save her life, or she might have known the man who entered her home that day, the bouquet of flowers she was seen carrying were found discarded in the hallway of the apartment's ground floor entrance, meaning she was likely confronted by the attacker immediately upon entering the building. And the flowers bore a striking resemblance to the ones she was holding in that magazine shoot. Wondering if she had a secret boyfriend or if the killer was a friend, the other women at the club were interviewed and revealed that, in the days leading up to the murder, some of them had received obscene phone calls and even some death threats. It was soon learned that Eve herself received a number of these calls, most of which were either hang-ups or whispered obscenities, and that she received a total of 3 of these calls on the day of her murder, each of which ended as soon as she picked up the phone. While searches for the murder weapon came up empty, though a torn copy of the magazine, along with others, were found in the nearby gardens, 2 photo fit pictures were released by detectives of men who were allegedly seen in the vicinity of the murder the day of the crime. Men who the officers wished to speak with. However, nothing came from their appeals, nor did any leads come from the claims that, prior to her murder, Eve complained about a man who lurked near her home and followed her. And though there were claims of an aggrieved Arab associate who tried to run Eve down just months before the murder, nothing, no matter how serious the statements were, seemed to pan out into anything meaningful. The last real update came in October of 1975, when a Liverpool officer reportedly found reports of the brutal murder smeared with lipstick in an empty bedsit after 2 male tenants vacated. There were also magazine photos of Eve, which appeared to have been stabbed with a dart. But again, nothing came of this, and by 1976, all leads in Eve Stratford's case had been exhausted. It wasn't until 2004 that the cold case was reopened and finally provided answers to those who knew and loved her. However, it wasn't Eve Stratford's case that was re-looked into, but instead that of a 16-year-old girl who was brutally slain 6 months later. Lynn Whedon, born November 11, 1958, was just 16 years old when she was hit over the head with a blunt object on September 3rd, 1975. 6 months after Eve Stratford's murder and on the other side of London, the young girl was out celebrating her O-level results with friends at a pub when she started her walk home at about 11 p.m. Parting ways with her buddies, when she crossed through the Short Hedges alleyway, one she previously vowed to never use after dark because it was frequented by prowlers, she made the shortcut and was met with the end of a piece of lead pipe. Fracturing her skull, her attacker then lifted Lynn over the gates and onto the grounds of a power substation, dragged her out of sight, and then viciously raped her. She was found the next morning, and though initially surviving the ordeal, the young girl succumbed to her many injuries on September 10th, 1975. Though someone spotted a man walking his dog down the alleyway the night of the murder, Lynn Whedon's case, like Eve's, went cold until 2004 when the case was reopened. Though it seemed like the two murders had very little in common, in 2007, DNA technology unexpectedly produced results that both crimes were committed by the same person, resulting in Eve's case being reopened as well. Unfortunately, none of the 16 individuals, suspects, who had their DNA taken matched the sample. Both cases appeared on the BBC Crime Watch program, where DCI Andy Mortimer stated that, without a shadow of a doubt, both murders were sexually motivated, that the killer in both instances took the murder weapon with him, and that the attacks were likely premeditated. He also said that it was very likely that Eve Stratford and Lynn Whedon were not his only victims. It was around this time that Operation Stealth, a police operation investigating unsolved murders since 2008, was given the funding to continue working on the cases until 2011. And on March 25th, 2015, the police issued a fresh appeal to coincide with the 40th anniversary of Eve's murder. Featured on Crime Watch again a month later and revealing the £40,000 reward offer, detectives noted the possibility that the killer could have unknowingly committed crimes or gone to prison for other events between the time of the murders and the year 1995, as this was the year that DNA started to be taken from inmates, and that he could have lived near or at least known the area where Lynn was killed very well, because he knew all about that shortcut. Unfortunately, as it stands, neither case has ever been solved. Even more devastating is the fact that, during their investigation, police connected the unknown killer to a number of other cases, meaning that a serial killer was able to walk free and take the lives of Elizabeth Paravencia in 1977, a 27-year-old killed only a mile away from where Lynn was attacked and in a very similar manner, and Patsy Morris, another local schoolgirl who was killed less than 2.5 miles away from that shortcut in 1980 and was just 14 years old. It should be noted that Patsy was the childhood girlfriend of serial killer Levi Belfield, and many believe that she might have been one of his first victims. He would have been 12 at the time of the murder. Regardless of whether or not he was the killer that they were looking for, both cases have been connected to those of Eve Stratford and Lynn Whedon via DNA, but officially, the killer's identity remains a mystery. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 19th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.